Hey friends, today we're going to reinforce some very important biblical principles when it comes to creation, when it comes to the truth, and we're going to talk about the difference between operational science and historical science, and how old earth beliefs place death before Adam. That sounds like a conflict right there. That's coming up on Worldview Matters.
Welcome to Worldview Matters, discussing controversial issues, discerning current events, defending biblical Christianity. No topic off limits. And now, here's your host, David Fiorazzo.
Well, friends, let's get ready and dive in right away. Russ Miller is back with us. The website is creationministries.org, creationministries.org, and we've got a lot to talk about with him because the church really needs to be maybe re-educated. I was going to say educated, but possibly re-educated on some of these things. Russ, good to see you, brother. Thanks for your time.
Oh, hi, David. It's great to be with you again. I'm always blessed to be on your program. How are you doing?
Good, good. Really good. And I'm always encouraged by everyone I talk to, I think. So far, so good on the podcast. We're approaching 300 already. And just we haven't been at this too long. But anyway, Russ, before we start, you mentioned something on your website. You've got flash drives of some of your materials. Just tell us about how people can get a hold of that and share that.
Yes. You know, our best two resources are my book, Cost, covers top 10 old earth beliefs, top 10 Darwinian beliefs, top 10 evil fruit of these beliefs, and top 10 reasons to believe in biblical creation. There's actually a Christian school with an accredited course on their campus and online based on my book. But that, and I don't copyright my thumb drives and DVDs. I tell people to get them, make a million copies, give them to everybody you know, ask them to make copies. We have one thumb drive with 1,000 items, but the thing there is that that's too much for most people. What you want to do is you want something you can give someone, whether they be a scoffer or a skeptic or a struggling Christian or a strong Christian or anyone in between. So I made a special thumb drive with my five top teachings in the order I would present to anybody. And a month ago, we even put my book Cost on that thumb drive in digital format. And people can get those five top teachings in my book on the digital format on that thumb drive. And they can make all the copies they want. They can make a million copies. I wish they would. We need to get some information out there. We're losing the great majority of our kids by the age of 20.
We are. And there's so many factors that go into that. The biblical illiteracy of the church. Pastors coming out of seminaries who either aren't teaching the inerrancy of Scripture or aren't teaching young earth, you know, in creationism as it is in the Bible. There's so many issues here, Russ. But before we get started, I want to go over to your website right on the top of creationministries.org. There's a beautiful picture, and this is just like astounding to me when you look at it. It's you got the grand staircase there at creationministries.org. And I know you do tours, but this is one of the things we're going to talk a little bit about today. There's a lot of evidence in that grand staircase, isn't there?
Hey, David, the Grand Canyon is one of the five pillars of secular old earth beliefs, and we can recapture that in about 60 seconds on the rim of the canyon. But they won't tell folks that the Grand Canyon is, well, it's a mile from the rim down to the river. There used to be 2 miles of rock of layers above the layer that makes up the rim, which is the Kaibab limestone. And you pick those up if you go north in what's geologically called the Grand Staircase. So if folks have ever been to Bryce, that's the top of the staircase. And you've got these layers that are just cut. The 2,500 foot cliffs where you find Bryce were cut, and those layers were removed south to the sea. Those the rotters dropped about 45 miles south, cut the 2,500 foot cliffs where we find Zion, remove those layers south to the sea, dropped another 45 miles, cut the 2,000 foot tall Vermilion Cliffs, removing those layers to the sea, dropped 95 miles south, cut the 2,000 foot tall Mogollon Rim that goes east and west across northern Arizona, removing those layers south to the sea. So there used to be where it's a mile from the rim of Grand Canyon down to the river, there used to be 2 miles of rock layers above that area. And there's no way to explain this missing strata literally for hundreds of square miles. In fact, Grand Canyon's missing 900 cubic miles of sediments. 900. That's a big hole in the ground. But the staircase is missing 133,000 cubic miles of sediments. Grand Canyon's missing sediments aren't even 1% of what's been removed from the staircase. So we lead Grand Staircase tours as well as rim and raft trips. And that's just about 25% of our ministry is doing tours to the Grand Canyon, because we can recapture it very quickly for God's word. But we show the global flood. The inference there is every old earth belief is based on the belief there was never a global flood. And the Earth's crust, the stratified layers, form slowly and uniformly. The global flood wipes out every old Earth belief. And that's what we show and teach.
Wow. So just what you're talking about, the sediment, the missing sediment, people don't think about that. There's just this big gaping chasm, this big hole. That, how did it get there? How did this all happen? And it's like it had to flow somewhere, right? What we talked a little bit about before we got on the podcast was the difference between operational science and what I call made up or revisionist historical science, which is not the same. Yeah. And you say operational science aligns with the Bible, because the Bible is true history. That science just means knowledge. Talk to us a little bit about the difference again.
Most people, when they think of science, they think of operational science. That's what I call real science. And real science, operational science, is a believer's best friend. We're losing up to 80 to 90% of our kids by the age of 20. And one of the two top reasons, one is Darwinian evolution, thinking it's true. And the second is thinking that Christians are against science. Most people don't realize it, but over 80% of the branches of modern science were started by Christians. Real science is on our side, always has been, always will be. And operational science is knowledge derived from the study of evidence. However, there's also historical science, and the colleges won't teach their students the difference. And there's a reason for that. If people knew the difference, they would realize that most of the science that goes against the Bible, in fact, all of the science for this conflict with scripture, is historical science. Now, again, operational science, knowledge derived from the study of evidence. Historical science are stories. They call them historical narratives. They're stories made by taking today's rates that you can test, study, and observe operational science, and assuming they've always been the same, and applying those to current events. In other words, take Grand Canyon. You could measure the amount of silt being taken out by the Colorado River today, and assuming it's always been the same, they come up with it took 7 million years for that river to carve out that little canyon. Well, here's an analogy I use to show the difference between operational science and historical science. If you've ever seen oil drained out of a car, you pull the plug in the bottom and boosh, the oil pours into the pan. And if you watch that and study it, operational science, you'll find it takes 2 minutes to fill that pan with oil. But let's say you'd never seen that, and you come along the next day and you believe in uniform processes. Well, you watch that pan, it's full of oil, and you look and you watch. And after about a week, one drop falls out. Boop. Well, based on uniformity, historical science, you assume it's always been one drop a week, and you conclude it took 2,000 years to fill that pan with oil. So the operational science is it took 2 minutes. The non-observed historical science is it took 2,000 years. Well, all of evolutionary biology is historical science. Now, biology, you've got real operational science. You can test, study, and observe photosynthesis and cell division, et cetera. But when you get into evolutionary biology and you're talking about what happened thousands and millions of years ago, that's all historical science. Nobody tested, studied, and observed any of that. So they see a brown dog producing a yellow dog, or let me go to Darwin's finches. He saw a thin bill finch begetting a thick bill finch. He thought the changes happened uniformly over long ages of time, and by giving it millions of years, he came up with his Darwinian or macro evolution. But real science, a believer's best friend, realizes that's historical science, not operational science. Mm-hmm. So operational science shows that Finches only produce finches. Dogs only produce dogs. People only produce people. Real science shows that kinds only bring forth after their kind, and that the changes within the kinds are caused by the loss of genetic information. Actually, the sorting or loss of the parent starting information show gene pools get weaker and weaker. That's real science, a believer's best friend. And David, it's important for Christians to understand that when science shows kinds only bring forth after their kind, let's go back to the book of Genesis, where we're told 10 times that plants or animals will bring forth after their kind.
Yes.
And that's the only thing operational science shows. But now, Darwinian or historical science, Darwinian macrobiology, that's all historical science, where they make up a historical narrative based on the belief that things are uniform, and it's been that way for millions of years. Go back to how long did it take to drain that oil from the car, right? So historical science is where there's issues, not real science. And since we're losing so many kids based on the belief in Darwinism is true and that Christians are anti-science, we've just taken both of those two reasons out. The other two reasons, top reasons we're losing kids, is a belief that there's no proof of biblical creation or the global flood. Well, we've already talked about the Grand Canyon and Grand Staircase. So, you know, and as far as biblical creation, kinds only bring forth after their kind. We've only really talked for about 10 minutes and we've taken all four of those out.
In 2 minutes before we have to take a brief pause, Russ, explain how what you and I both acknowledge, a lot of pastors don't even believe that old Earth, if you believe the Earth was millions or billions of years old, that that places death before Adam. Why is that a problem biblically?
Well, that's a huge problem. In fact, COST, God gave me this acronym, COS and the cross, COST. And what I show people, and actually, David, it's so important, and I started to realize very, very few Christians, even pastors, understand this, is almost every message I give, I start out with these biblical foundations. And I ask people, have you ever heard the question, how could there be a loving God and a world full of death?
Yeah.
Well, most people can't really answer that biblically. So here's the biblical answer. The answer is the cost, COS and the cross. God didn't give us the world the way it is today, full of death and suffering. He gave us a perfect creation. What happened to it? Well, Adam's original sin, that's the O, original sin, brought on the curse that allowed death to enter. And then the S is that original sin, and that's the biblical answer to how can there be a loving God and a world full of death, by the way. But the answer should go further. That original sin, and this is the S, separated us from God, requiring the cross, our redemption with him. COS and the cross, the cost. Well, so how loving is God? Well, we can't redeem ourselves with God, so he sent his only begotten son to suffer and die in our place so we could be redeemed with him for eternity in heaven. But every old earth belief, no matter how well-intentioned you might think it is, puts death before Adam. Well, once you put death before Adam, you can't say Adam's sin brought in death, separating us from God, requiring our redemption.
Wow.
So death before Adam is a huge, huge torpedo through the foundations of the gospel message. And that's why most Christians today can't answer the simple question, how can we have a loving God in a world full of death? Because over 90% of our seminaries and colleges are teaching old earth beliefs that place death before Adam. It's a huge issue. It also has to do with actually whether or not you're believing in the true biblical Christ, or if you're denying him and making up one that fits with the foundations of atheistic humanism, which is millions of years of time.
Yep. Did you say 90% of seminaries teach old earth beliefs?
Yes, the stats that I've seen, actually, it's over 90%.
Wow.
And they have filled today's church. David, this will shock you, but the information I share, which as we've already seen, destroys the reasons we're losing most of our kids. Only about 2% of churches will let me share this.
Which I guess we shouldn't be surprised. We've got to take a brief pause here. We shouldn't be surprised because of the modernized, world-conforming, world-pleasing church that is biblically illiterate from Barna and Gallup and Pew and all the research when it comes to Christianity in America. And we will be right back with Russ Miller on Worldview Matters.
Introducing Patriot Mobile, the wireless carrier that stands with you. We are committed to supporting the values that make our nation great. With affordable plans and reliable nationwide coverage, Patriot Mobile is not just a wireless service. It's a call to action for those who believe in the American dream.
Get free activation now with promo code David. Friends, we just started a YouTube channel roughly a couple months ago. That's World of View Matters, David Fiorazzo. And I just want to thank you overall on all of our platforms. Our episodes have been surging. Thanks to God. But you've been sharing it. You've been doing a great job. Apple, Spotify, Facebook, Rumble, YouTube, and the Freedom Project Media app. So thank you. Russ Miller, our guest today, the website creationministries.org. Let's go back to seminaries just for another minute or two. I know there was a split 100 years ago in the Presbyterian Church on the essentials. They had this big debate within that church. And by the 1950s, if I remember right, seminaries like Fuller even were backing off from teaching the inerrancy of Scripture. And what could go wrong, Russ? So you talk a lot about, now I want to talk about this, if you, unless you want to add something about the seminaries, but Jesus warned that the false Christs and prophets and teachers would arise in the last days. Paul warned about it. Where do you see this in terms of this discussion on creation, old earth versus young earth?
It plays into the discussion because the discussion inside the church is largely blocked now. Like I said earlier, only about 2% of churches would let me share this information because even though it's 100% godly edifying and brings glory to God's word and crushes the reason we're losing most of our kids, it goes against the old earth beliefs and that upsets the old earth believers, which, by the way, is evil fruit coming from old earth beliefs. So it's a huge issue, David. And, you know, going back to the old earth beliefs, which are based on a belief that process we see today are uniform, they also deny the global flood. That's modern geology is based on two beliefs, that processes are uniform and there was never a global flood. Well, now we go back to the Word of God, and in 2 Peter 3:3-6, we're told in the last days, so this is a last days prophecy, non-believers, they say scoffers, and I'm going to paraphrase here, they're going to claim that processes are uniform since the beginning of creation, uniformity, and they're going to deny two things, that God could get light here in a six-day creation, that the heavens were made mature, and that they're going to deny that the world that was being overflowed with water perished. Secular geology is based on those two beliefs, uniform processes and denial of the global flood, just as the Bible told. And the seminaries and colleges and all Christians that accept the death before Adam beliefs, the old earth beliefs, my friends, you're being fooled. And you're also either denying, you're accepting uniform processes and denying the flood. If you don't realize you're doing it, you're accepting people who are doing it. Every old earth belief is based on denial of the global flood because they're based on how the earth's crust, the stratified layers of rock that make up the crust of the earth. All old earth beliefs are based on those forming slowly and uniformly, not quickly in a global flood. And that's when we go back to my canyon tours and our staircase and the missing 133,000 cubic miles of sediments. There's no viable way to explain that but flooding on a global scale. In fact, a few years back, I had a professor from Columbia University call me and he said, hey, I'm in Flagstaff and I want to get together with you and straighten you out about your geology because you're misleading a lot of people. And I said, well, professor, I'd be glad to sit down and straighten you out about your geology because you're the one misleading everybody. So he said, okay, let's meet in Flagstaff. I said, okay, let's meet at Chick-fil-A. He didn't go for that. So we had to meet on his home turf. We met at Starbucks. And the first thing I did was to read 2 Peter 3:3-6 to him, and it physically shook him. that the Bible foretold non-believers would claim uniform processes and deny the flood, because that's what secular geology is based upon. And then he went on for over an hour, his proofs of millions of years. And I just sat there and, well, that one's based on a belief there was never a flood, a global flood wipe set out. Oh, that belief's based on processes being uniform. If they haven't always been the same, that wipes that out. And then finally, I said, hey, you know, I've answered dozens of your questions. I just have one. How do you explain the missing 133,000 cubic miles of sediments that left behind the Grand Staircase with no evidence of where the sediments are? How do you explain that other than flooding on a global scale? And David, the best he said the Columbia University professor had was, well, a small stream over millions of years. And I said, professor, a small stream? You can't even explain how the Colorado River could have dug out that puny little Grand Canyon. It's only missing 900 cubic miles of sediments. There's no way a little stream could have redone this and left no evidence of where it went. And he just stormed out.
Wow.
Here's what I tell people. We own the truth. They own the system. And that's the bottom line. Real science, operational science is on our side.
That's very profound what you just shared. By the way, I'm amazed the guy was a professor. But there's so much there, Russ. But I just, before we run out of time, I need to ask you. So denying the flood, believing in the old earth. And by the way, I think you'd have to stretch the millions to, I can see how they think billions of years now, because millions of years won't even do it. But let's go back to the inerrancy of Scripture. It's man's word or God's word. So if you're believing as a Christian or so-called or professing Christian, if you're denying the flood, are you saying then that the flood is like a story, not really God's truth? It's just a story or an allegory? How do they look at that then? That it's not God's word?
Yeah. Well, David, you probably heard someone say, oh, it's just a local flood. My friends, if you are believing it was a local flood, you are listening to someone who is trying to get you to accept the old earth beliefs that put death before Adam. The Bible says that God judged man's sin with a flood that covered all the high hills under the whole heaven. That would be a global flood. And the Bible also told us, like I said earlier in 2 Peter 3, scoffers in the last days would claim uniform processes and deny that the world that was being overflowed with water perished. Don't agree with the scoffers, agree with the word of God. And because it's a death before Adam issue, this is why everything starts out today, millions and billions of years. That's the foundation of secular atheistic humanism. Mm-hmm. And it's all based, these old earth beliefs that are worshipped today were only invented 220 years ago based on the geologic time scale, which is based on the belief the earth's crust formed slowly and uniformly, not quickly, during a global flood. That's what secular geology is based upon. Don't agree with the atheistic view. The real science is on our side. They can't explain a lot of things in those stratified layers. They can't even explain why the layers are stratified. What, nothing but shale formed for tens of millions of years, and boom, overnight, nothing but limestone formed for tens of millions of years, and poof, overnight. No. During the flood, you've seen a miner with a pan. He scoops up some sediments and water. He sloshes it back and forth. Well, the moving water separates the sediments in his pan by grain size, weight, and density. Gold being the densest falls to the bottom. On a global scale, the flood lasted over 300 days. Some people think it was 40 days and 40 nights. No, the windows of heaven came down 40 days and 40 nights. The fountains of the deep erupted for 150 days, and then the waters abated over another 150-day period. Well, the fountains of the deep were erupting and were eroding the top mile and a half to 2 miles of the Earth's original crust. Now these sediments are rolling around on the Earth in those waters being separated by grain size, weight, and density. So as the waters start to diminish, they start laying those sediments down. But now all the shale grains are together, all the mudstone grains are together, all the limestone, all the sandstone grains. That's the reason we have stratified layers making up the crust of the Earth. People say, gee, I've never seen any proof of the global flood. You've spent your whole life walking on an average of a mile deep proof. It's all over the world. Who has no proof are the old earth believers. That's all historical science. There's no operational science behind them. Hey, David, I can actually give you 5,400 proofs of a relatively young earth. salt. Salt can be measured in today's oceans at 3.6%, and it's increasing every year as leaching from continents and runoff in rivers bring more more salt into the ocean. When the water evaporates away, it leaves the salt behind. Well, we have about 5,400 minerals in and on the earth, depending on who you talk to. But believe it or not, some groups say 2,000, some say 10,000. We think we know everything and we don't. But I'm going to go with the medium, 5,400. Every one of those that can be measured are increasing in the oceans. And as the water evaporates, it leaves them behind. And every one of those, the 3.6% salt at today's rate would only take 50,000 years to get in there. Now, is that a problem for a younger Earth? No, it's a problem for millions of years. But a lot of that was put in the oceans during the global flood. God may have made the seas with salt in them. Same with every one of these minerals. They all show an ocean too young for old Earth beliefs, but they all can fit with the biblical view of creation and when creation took place based on God's word and what the genealogical records show us.
Oh, my goodness. There's so much. Thank you for cutting it off there because we ran out of time. But there's so much more. And I know you have plenty of resources on your website, creationministries.org. I mean, is it too simplistic to say this comes down to whether we believe God's word or man's word? I know Ken Ham was the one that that trumpeted that phrase for so many decades. But, brother, thank you. Yep. Thank you, Russ. Lord willing, we'll do it again. Keep speaking the truth. I know you will. Thanks for your time today.
Thank you, my friend. God bless you.
God bless you, too. All right, friends. So a lot of resources there. Plus, there's some great scriptures. One that comes to mind is 1 Peter chapter 1, 2 Peter 1, verses 20 and 21. Go look that one up. Meditate on that. Well, thanks for watching and sharing. God bless you. And as always, keep speaking the truth about things that matter.